A client once asked me to make a promotional flyer louder. The real problem was that nobody could find the offer. It was right there on the page, surrounded by product photos, proof points, decorative shapes, contact details, and good intentions. Technically, the information was present. Practically, it was invisible. That is the strange power of crowded design. Adding more can make the most important thing harder to see.
Welcome, dreamers, doodlers, and design disruptors, to the Tools of the Imagination, the podcast where we crack open the sketchbook of creativity and reveal the brushes, pixels, and bold ideas that turn visions into victories. I'm Michael Wallace, founder of MG Wallace Design Studios, and your guide through the wild world of visual storytelling.
Today, I want to make a case for a tool that is easy to overlook because it is not an object you can download, plug in, or add to a software toolbar. It is the room around the idea. Empty space can direct attention, shape meaning, and give a brand a more confident presence. But before we go any further, let me make one thing clear. This is not an argument for making every design sparse, pale, or quiet.
A lively festival poster can be dense. A restaurant menu can carry dozens of choices. A children's event can be colorful and energetic. The question is not whether a design contains a lot. The question is whether the audience can tell what belongs together, what matters first, and where to go next. Today, we will make that question practical with a fictional campaign, a pencil exercise, and a simple space-to-story audit you can use on a post, flyer, logo, menu, or sign.
In each episode, we'll dive deep into the art of crafting logos that don't just mark a brand, they ignite one. We'll unpack illustrations that leap off the page, transforming marketing magic into magnets that draw the right people straight to your door. Whether it's strategizing color palettes that convert or sketching narratives that narrate your story, we're here to equip you with the tools to imagine bigger, design bolder, and connect deeper. From behind-the-scenes breakdowns with industry trailblazers to hands-on hacks you can steal for your next project, this is your creative command center. So, grab your favorite pen, fire up your tablet, and let's get those ideas flowing. Stick around. Your imagination's about to get an upgrade.
Let us start with a business called Brightside Bicycle Co. It's a neighborhood shop that repairs bikes, sells commuter accessories, and hosts weekend repair workshops. Their spring campaign has one important goal: get local riders to reserve a free 10-minute safety check.
The first draft is enthusiastic. There is a bicycle illustration in the center, a yellow sunburst behind it, a large headline at the top, a red reservation badge in one corner, a paragraph about the shop's history, a list of services, a QR code, an address, a phone number, social icons, a map snippet, and a line that says, "Family owned since 1998. Nothing is automatically wrong with any one of those pieces. That is why the critique is difficult. The design is not failing because it lacks effort. It is failing because every element is asking for equal attention.
The first job is to make the safety check, not the shop's entire biography. Exactly. The business history may build trust, but it does not need to win the first glance. The offer needs a clear entrance. The action needs a clear next step. The illustration should support the promise, not compete with it. The address and QR code can remain available, but they should stop shouting from the same stage.
This is the difference between unused space and intentional space. An empty corner is not automatically doing useful work. Intentional space has a job. It separates a headline from supporting detail. It keeps a button or a QR code from getting lost. It gives a logo a stable boundary. It can make a premium service feel considered instead of desperate. Space is not the absence of design. It is part of the design decision.
Try seeing the layout as a conversation. The headline says, "Get your bike ready." The supporting line says, "Reserve a free 10-minute safety check." The QR code says, "Here is how." Those three statements belong in the main exchange. The business history, service list, and contact details can join later. If an element begins a completely different conversation, move it, reduce it, group it, or let it go.
that last option can feel personal. Designers are sometimes asked to remove something that took an hour to create. Business owners may be asked to remove information they believe proves their value. But removing distraction is not removing value. It is protecting value from being buried. You are not saying the detail is unimportant. You are deciding when the audience should encounter it.
And deletion is not the only answer. Grouping can save useful information. Brightside can keep its hours, address, and phone number by placing them in one quiet information block. The details remain available, but they become one supporting unit instead of three separate demands. A tight cluster says, these things belong together. A larger gap says, now we are moving to a new thought. You are communicating with distance.
Here is a quick imagination break. Take a sheet of paper, or a picture one if your hands are busy. Draw a rectangle for a social graphic. Now give yourself only three visual elements, one headline, one image or shape, and one action. Nothing else. Do not try to make it beautiful yet. Decide what deserves to survive.
You might keep free bike safety check, a simple front wheel shape, and reserve your spot. Notice how quickly the design becomes a decision instead of a storage container. Now, place the headline where your eye naturally lands. Give it a generous boundary. Put the action close enough to feel connected, but not so close that the words collapse into one block. Give the image a role. Is it pointing, framing, contrasting, or simply adding personality?
If you are driving, wait until you are parked before trying the exercise. Your audience's safety deserves more attention than your layout. When you look at the sketch, ask where your eye lands first. If it lands on the decorative shape instead of the action, adjust the scale or position. If the headline feels trapped, widen the space around it. If the action feels disconnected, bring it closer to the supporting message.
This leads to the space-to-story audit. I use it because make it cleaner is often too vague to guide a real decision. The audit gives you five questions. The first is simple. What is the one action? What should the audience do, understand, or remember? For Brightside, the answer is reserve the safety check. Not admire the bicycle. Not memorize the company history. Reserve the check.
The second question is, what supporting information must arrive immediately? What can wait for a second glance? And what can be found only after someone is interested? This is not a ranking of human importance. It is a ranking of arrival time. The offer may need to arrive first. The location may arrive second. The founding date may arrive much later, perhaps on the website or in the caption.
The third question is, what belongs together? Place the reservation instruction and QR code in the same visual neighborhood. Keep contact details together. Keep a caption or supporting explanation from being visually mistaken for the headline. Proximity is a silent sentence. It tells the audience which ideas are related before they read every word.
The fourth question is, where does the important idea get to breathe? Start with the highest priority message. Do not spread equal amounts of space randomly across the layout. If the main offer has the same cramped spacing as a footnote, the design is implying that both deserve equal attention. Give the most important sentence a better neighborhood.
The fifth question is, can the story survive a glance? Shrink the design to a thumbnail. Blur your eyes. Look at it from across the room. Ask someone who did not watch the design process what they noticed first. If the answer is the background texture, that is not a disaster. It is useful evidence. The texture may be too strong, the offer may be too small, or the grouping may be unclear.
Now, I want to challenge my own method for a moment. The glance test is helpful, but it cannot be the only test. A menu with 12 items should not be judged like a single social post. A menu needs navigation. It may use several headings, prices, descriptions, and choices. The goal is not to make it nearly empty. The goal is to create enough structure that a hungry person can find dinner without feeling lost.
So on that menu, space may come from consistent alignment, clear category breaks, predictable type sizes, and a little extra distance between sections.
the information can remain dense while the relationships become obvious. This is the distinction I want you to remember. Not less information at all costs, but less confusion. Empty space should serve the story, not a fashionable look.
Let us move Brightside from the phone screen to the street. A social post may have only a second to stop the scroll. I might build a strong visual pause around free bike safety check, place reserve your spot nearby, and crop the bicycle illustration so only the front wheel and handlebar suggest movement. The caption can carry the longer explanation. Not every surface has to carry the entire campaign.
A printed flyer gives the reader more time, but not unlimited attention. Someone may pick it up while carrying groceries, waiting for an appointment, or passing a community board. The flyer can include the list of services and the shop history, but those details should support a clear entry point. Start with the promise, then make the proof easy to find, then make the action unmistakable.
Print also has physical limits. A large, dark background can make a flyer feel heavy. Ink coverage, paper texture, folds, trimming, and finishing all influence how open the piece feels. Important text needs a safe zone so it does not appear to fall off the edge. That quiet border is not wasted material. It is protection for clarity.
The storefront sign changes the problem again. The viewer may be moving, standing across a parking lot, or seeing the sign in changing light. A draft that looks informative up close can become a stripe of tiny decisions from the street. I would keep the business name, use one recognizable bicycle shape, and give the safety check offer enough separation that it can be read without competing with the identity.
Then I would test actual letter height, contrast, and viewing distance instead of trusting only the design board. A narrow gap that looks elegant on a monitor may disappear in print. A thin line may vanish. A QR code may not scan. Space gives you room to increase the size of the things that have to work.
The logo lockup has a different responsibility. It needs a repeatable boundary. A logo may appear beside a partner mark, a product photo, a headline, and a button. If the symbol and name are squeezed together, the identity can look nervous. If they have a consistent relationship and a dependable amount of surrounding space, the brand feels more stable.
But do not overcorrect. More space does not mean shrinking everything until the logo becomes a whisper. A tiny headline in a huge empty field is not automatically elegant. It may simply be difficult to read. Space and scale work together. Intentional space is active structure, and its job is to make the message stronger.
Here is another way to hear the difference. The crowded version of Brightside says, look at our history, our services, our products, our location, our phone number, our workshop, our bicycle, our colors, and our offer. The clearer version says, ride ready, free 10-minute safety check, reserve your spot. The supporting details still matter. They simply have a doorway now.
That doorway is a marketing advantage. Clarity reduces friction. When someone understands the offer quickly, knows what to do, and trusts that the design is organized, the path to action becomes shorter. We are not manipulating attention. We are respecting it. We are making the next step easier to recognize.
This is also why consistency does not mean copying the same layout everywhere. A sign needs immediate recognition. A social post needs a stopping point. A flyer can support exploration. A logo needs a stable boundary. The campaign should preserve the same story, visual signals, and personality, while allowing each format to breathe according to its environment.
Choose one design this week. A post, a flyer, a menu, a logo lockup, or a sign. Write the action in one sentence. Circle the three elements that help that action happen. Draw a boundary around what should be read together. Increase the space around that group before changing colors, effects, or illustrations. Then test the design small, far away, and without explaining it.
Document what you remove and why. Instead of telling a client, I took this out because it felt cluttered, you can say, I moved this detail into the supporting layer so the main offer could be understood immediately. That turns personal preference into communication strategy.
You can always restore an element if testing shows it is needed. Design is not a courtroom where every element receives a permanent sentence.
And test under real conditions whenever possible. Print the flyer, stand back, view the sign in daylight, check the QR code, look at the design from the entrance, the sidewalk, or the other side of the room. A design is not finished when it looks good in the file. It is finished when the intended message survives the environment.
If you remember only three questions, make them these. What must happen? What belongs together? Where does the eye get to rest? Those questions will help you direct attention without flattening the personality out of the design. You can still use bold color, energetic illustration, unusual type, texture, and visual surprise. You are simply deciding where that energy belongs.
The goal is not to make every brand whisper. The goal is to make sure the right voice is heard. Sometimes that voice is playful and loud. Sometimes it is calm and precise. Empty space gives either voice enough room to arrive clearly.
If you want templates or downloads to guide your audit, register at mgwdstudios.com/submit. You will find the creative resources connected to the show there. And if you are looking for custom brand visuals designed to help the right audience notice, engage, and act, you can explore MGWD Studios at mgwdstudios.com.
No need to overhaul your entire brand tonight. Start with one visual and one honest question. What should the audience be able to see, feel, or do without having to search? The answer may lead you to a new headline, a stronger crop, a better grouping, or simply a little more room around the idea that matters most.
And that's a wrap on today's dive into the tools that turn sketches into success stories. Remember, whether it's a logo that lingers in minds or an illustration that hooks hearts, your imagination is the ultimate canvas. So pick up that brush and paint boldly.
Thanks for joining me at the Tools of the Imagination from MG Wallace Design Studios. If this sparked something in you, hit that subscribe button, drop a review, and share it with a fellow creator who needs a creative boost.
In a future episode, we will take one strong visual idea and turn it into a campaign family that works across formats without losing its identity. Until next time, keep designing, keep dreaming, and keep imagining what's next. I'm Michael. See you in the sketchbook.
Imagine boldly. Design brilliantly. Connect creatively.